Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Expectations. We all have them, don't we? Maybe you kids out there expected to receive for great Christmas the next technological toy. Maybe you didn't. Maybe I should have expected that your parents didn't get one, and now it's kind of awkward and you're distracted by that technological toy that you didn't get. No, please, come back to the sermon. Please. Adults, maybe you created expectations in your minds for this new year and your New Year's resolution. Maybe you resolved to lose 10 pounds and you expect to lose 10 pounds, whereas it's 60 in my case. Or maybe you expected that you would fail again, and maybe you already have. Maybe you had expectations and they didn't come to pass. But the point is that we all have expectations about the future, and sometimes they don't happen. The Gospel of St. Matthew, in the pages that he has written for us, plays with our expectations all over the place. He plays with our expectations about who will believe in Jesus the Christ, who we expect to believe in Jesus the Christ, and those who don't believe. In our text for the Epiphany this morning, the revealing of the Christ to the Gentiles, it demonstrates a shocking difference between those we would have expected to receive the Christ but didn't, and those who no one would have expected to be present to worship the Christ, but they were present, and they did worship. Now, I know that phrase might be confusing, and we'll come back to it. The pagan sorcerers, the magi, seek the Christ to worship him, while the chief priests, the scribes, the learned men of the people of promise had no idea that the Christ had arrived. Other examples come to us from Matthew chapter 8, where a miserable, no good Roman centurion asked Jesus to heal his servant. We would have expected such a man to walk up to this miracle worker and tell him to heal his servant right now. But instead, the centurion asks. When Jesus offers to come and heal the servant, the centurion replies with more than just words. He responds in faith. In faith, the centurion replies that Jesus need only say the words and his servant would be healed. No Jew would have expected, much less wanted for that matter, a Roman centurion to speak a word of faith in the Christ, the King, much less that this Messiah acknowledge him for it. In chapter 9, Jesus frees a man who's been possessed by a demon. He's been so oppressed that the demon wouldn't even allow him to speak. After Jesus liberated this man from this demon, what was the response of the Pharisees? We should have expected that these learned men, the people of promise, who would one day teach St. Paul, would recognize the sign of the Messiah and respond in faith. Instead, they accused the Lord of life, the King of Israel, to be an agent of the prince of demons. In chapter 11, we find the Messiah's herald, John the Baptist, rotting away in a prison cell. John sends some disciples to Jesus to ask him if he was actually the Christ we should expect, or we should look for someone else. It appears that John is having some doubts about the King, the Messiah of Israel, because he's still rotting away in this prison cell. He didn't expect that the Messiah would heal and proclaim for so long. He expected the Messiah to come and liberate him and the nation of Israel. In chapter 15, we listen to the desperate plea of the Canaanite mother, pleading with Jesus for the life of her daughter, who is oppressed by a demon. This Canaanite woman, who is a descendant of the enemies of this Jewish rabbi, knows that she deserves absolutely nothing from him. Jesus confirms that it's not right to take the bread from the children and throw it to the dogs. But this Canaanite woman, enemy of Israel, responds in faith, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat what falls from the master's table." Jesus responds and commends the woman. "Oh, woman, great is your faith." And he heals the daughter. He casts out the demon. No one would have expected that this woman from Canaan, this foreigner, would have faith in Israel's Messiah. But she does. Now, we could continue on for hours and hours looking at different examples in Matthew of Jesus and unexpected faith, but I suppose you'd like to eat lunch, so we'll get on with it. The point is that in Matthew's gospel, those who we expect to receive Jesus don't. And those who we never would have expected to receive Jesus do. In the Epiphany account, we have two groups represented. On the one hand, we have the Israelites, the people of God, the chosen nation, the people of the promise. And this group is represented by Herod, the Roman puppet, not really an Israelite king. The chief priests, scribes, and all of Jerusalem. In the other group, we have an unknown number of magi. And to call these magi wise men would be more inaccurate than anything else. These magi, according to the word and other accounts we have in ancient Near Eastern texts, were typically court magicians, sorcerers for pagan idolater kings. And that's how they would be viewed by anybody reading this account from Matthew. They weren't smart, except in the black magic, mystical arts. And that's completely against the second commandment, as I'm sure all of you know. These pagan court sorcerers, the magi, have lost the star that was going to point them to the king of Israel. They had been following it ever since from the east. And so obviously they go to the capital of the nation of Israel to try to find out where this king has been born. So they show up on the doorstep of this psychotic, paranoid King Herod, who had no trouble killing anybody who threatened his throne, including wives, children, and even in-laws. And they show up to ask this king where the king of the Jews has been born. I'm sure that was his reaction, though he probably masked it a little better. But that's what's going through his mind. The wise men tell him that they've seen Israel's king's new star, and they're looking for him. And it's shocking that these men that no one expects to be there, these foreigners, are looking for Israel's Messiah. Now, Herod hasn't been keeping diligent watch for the Messiah, so he has to consult the learned men who tell him that Bethlehem, the hometown of David, is where the Messiah should arise. And in all honesty, they haven't been keeping good watch either. But they do know the proper biblical citation from Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, which tells the nation of Israel that their Messiah would come from the tiny town of Bethlehem. It's shocking that the rulers of Israel had not been expecting the Messiah's arrival. They should have expected the Messiah's arrival and been waiting for the coming of the Messiah. But they were caught unaware. But Herod really isn't convinced that the Messiah has come back because he just sends the Magi by themselves to go and look for this child. He didn't send with them an escort of soldiers to kill this child on the spot. Perhaps he was expecting that the Magi were just a little crazy in the head. At any rate, he sends them on their way, requesting that they return and send him news about this king so he can come and worship as well. Yeah, right. By worship, Herod probably meant come and kill this new pretender to his throne. We know that this psycho only wanted to kill those who threatened his throne, and that's what he tried to do when he murdered the boys of Bethlehem. The Magi left. The star that they had been following all the way from the east suddenly appeared once more and led them to one of the most unexpected places to find a king in a simple house in a small town. This revelation of God brought them to a humble place with a simple child and his parents. And after worshiping this child, they gave their gifts and returned home. And you know these wise men aren't so wise because they had to be warned in a dream not to return to Herod, lest he kill the Messiah. So we have two groups in our story. One, we would expect to be anticipating the worship, to be worshiping the king, but instead they want to kill him. While the other group we never would have expected to be present comes and they worship the new king. Some people are still in opposition to the Messiah in these days. Some who are in opposition are those you wouldn't expect. These people might even be in the midst of God's church. These people are opposed to the Messiah because they believe the Messiah could not and would not welcome some people who we would consider be sinners. Some people refuse to listen to Messiah's proclamation that you love your enemies and your neighbors as you love yourself. Sometimes we demonstrate through our sin that we oppose the Messiah and are against his mission. And then our humble Messiah, born in a manger, does something no one expected. Jesus didn't overthrow the Romans and establish a perfect kingdom here on this earth. This conquest was not appointed for this visit. Jesus suffered the rejection of his people. Jesus permitted his arrest, torture, mocking, and most unexpectedly, his death. The King of the Jews, the Messiah of the world, died in humility and meekness. Certainly, this wasn't the end anticipated by his followers. But equally unanticipated and unexpected was his resurrection from the dead. Both his death and resurrection mean great things for you too. Through his death, he forgives you all of your sins. Through his resurrection, Jesus has promised eternal life for you. It's not expected that water would provide anything other than hydration and the occasional bath, but it does provide miraculous things here at the font, where combined with the Word of God, it becomes a miraculous flood for you. It wouldn't be expected that bread and wine up here on the altar could provide anything more than nourishment. But Christ is truly present here for you, for the forgiveness of your sins, because he promised to be here. We have a lot of expectations in this life. We had expectations about those things we would have received for Christmas. And sometimes those expectations went unfulfilled, And other times, they went unfulfilled. Sometimes we even have expectations about Christianity. Sometimes these expectations are warranted, while others aren't in line with the scriptures. In any case, our expectations should always be tempered by what Christ has done for us. He shows us what we should expect. We should expect from Him all the gifts of God: forgiveness, life, and salvation. He is faithful. He will do it. In His name, amen. Now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, both now and forever. Amen.